All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to... Oh, let's start again. Hi-yo! Nope, that's already been done. Waka waka. Welcome to Matt's Holiday Movie Madness.
Are you just using me to test out your intros?
No, these are my intros. Welcome to Matt's Holiday Movie Madness, the show where we celebrate Christmas movies, big, small, terrible, awful, great, wonderful, hard to watch, hard to put down. Every Christmas movie. I love them all. This is an obsession with me. Every year I try to watch as many Christmas movies and Christmas specials as I can. And I wanted to celebrate that through this podcast. And I'm here with a very special guest who will be with me today as my wife. Well, introduce yourself.
I'm Jessica. I'm his wife.
I kind of introduced you a little ahead of time.
You can. That's okay. It's your podcast.
This is my wife, Jessica. Apparently, it's my podcast. She's giving me free reign, ladies and gentlemen. Free reign.
In this only.
All right. This movie we have today, we are going to unpack National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. So let's unpack this movie. So how many times have we seen this movie just together?
Like over a dozen.
At least over a dozen, for sure. At least once a year, the years we've been together. And before that, I bet I'd seen it probably 30 to 50 times or more. So this is a movie that's lodged deep inside my psyche. I think everybody's psyche. It is definitely a holiday movie classic, which is why we want to do it for the first episode here. So... just a few facts before we really get into it. It was this film was made in 1989 and written by John Hughes, who didn't really want to write it. The studio begged him to write it. The only reason he did was because he already had a short story called Christmas of 59 that he'd already written for National Lampoon's magazine in the 80s. So that was kind of fun. Guess who the original director was?
I don't know. Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg. Wouldn't that be amazing if he would have directed this movie?
We would not have seen Chevy Chase except three times in the movie at the very end.
What would have been the three times? What would have he been doing the three times?
The first one would be him at the lingerie counter. No. The first one would have been him with the chainsaw. Trimming the tree in the very beginning.
You mean at the end?
No, in the beginning. Bend over and I'll show you.
Yeah, that's towards the end.
No, it's in the beginning.
Is it?
Correct.
Okay.
That part, then it would be when he's having that daydream about the girl in the pool.
Yeah.
And
wait, you're saying these are all the times that Steven Spielberg would put Chevy Chase in this movie?
Correct. And then it would be when he puts the second tree up. And then the last one would be after he gets his Jelly of the Month bonus.
So you're saying this is a crazy concept you've just come up with. So you're saying the movie would just be what in between those things? What would it be?
Well, I mean, he did it in every other movie that he's directed where the main being involved in the plot doesn't get seen for like...
Oh.
It's a
I
joke.
I had no idea where you were going.
That's
with
a
that.
Rip on Steven Spielberg.
Wow, I love Steven Spielberg. Oh my goodness.
I do too, but that's a joke.
I'd like to think that it would just be a Christmas movie with more aliens in it, which I'm totally down.
That's a little too on the nose.
Speaking of Steven Spielberg, who I believe was involved in this next movie I'm going to mention. If he wasn't, I need to do more research. So it opened in 89. All right.
It's a good year.
It is. It opened. It was number two that weekend, opening behind, guess which movie was that huge, would have been that huge. Because this was a huge movie too. Christmas, the vacation movies were big.
The Breakfast Club.
No, Breakfast Club was way before that.
I know. I have no idea. I was an infant.
That's a good guess. Well, it's a guess. Actually, it opened behind, behind Back to the Future 2, which I consider to be the best Back to the Future.
Back
to the Future. But we don't call that Back to the Future 3. It made $71 million in the theaters.
Okay.
That's pretty good for back then. And its Rotten Tomatoes score was, take a guess.
65%.
Shut up. Is that your real guess?
Yeah.
It is 64%.
I'm amazing.
Does that reflect your love or half love of this movie?
I think that reflects the objectivity of, like, if it's objectively a good movie.
Oh,
as
wow.
Opposed to being a good Christmas movie.
I don't know if I can be objective about this film. I'll try to be. But this one is lodged in my brain and in my heart, I will be honest. It is. I've seen it. I've been with it too many times.
Yeah, well, we feel that way about a lot of awful movies.
That's
so
true.
What's your standard?
That's true. I guess I don't have any. All right, here's something else that's kind of fun. So it was one of only two Christmas movies released in 89. That's not unusual. There's not like a million Christmas movies every year. There's definitely usually at least one or two. But Johnny Galecki, who plays Rusty, starred in both of the Christmas movies that year. Do you know the other Christmas movie that was released in 89?
I don't.
It was a little movie called Prancer. I think by the title you can guess.
So what you're telling me is that Johnny Galecki was like the first Tim Allen, where he's like in every Christmas movie.
You've said that before, but I don't know what other Christmas movies he's been in besides.
I know, but he was like the OG Tim Allen. And then Tim Allen took over with all of his barrage of Christmas movies.
What's his barrage of Christmas movies? You mean just the three?
Tim Allen?
Yeah. Do you mean just the three Santa Claus movies?
No. He's also in Christmas with the Cranks, and I feel like there's a bunch of others.
Oh, that's
that he's
true.
In.
Those are the only two I can think of, though. All right.
Well, that's four Christmas movies.
For next week, I want you to... That's true.
You're hard-pressed to find another single actor who's been in that many.
Oh, man. That is true. You have a good point there. We're going to have to look that up. We'll get a fact checker on that one. What other Christmas movies?
Doris, can you check the facts on that?
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't even know how to unpack this movie. It's a great... I think it's a fun film. I mean, it starts out... We know what's going on. We have a dad who's obsessed with Christmas, right? I think every dad can relate to that, and a lot of people can relate to that because there's a lot of pressure to have like a great Christmas.
Do you ever find that you see yourself in Clark Griswold this movie?
Yeah, for sure. I don't even care if that was a sarcastic question.
It wasn't.
I think I do. So maybe that's why it's become funnier to me over the years. Because I didn't watch it for probably 10 years because I'd watched it so much.
Is this why you're always trying to get me to have every single human that's related to us in our house for the holidays?
Yeah, I would love that.
No, thank you.
I want them all. Yeah, I want like pirate ship bunks. Just everybody sleeping here all at the same time.
You know what? You can do that. I'll go stay at a hotel.
Perfect. It'll work out. And then me making waffles from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. So yeah, we get to see a dad trying to do his thing, get everybody together for the holidays. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful sentiment. And of course it goes downhill very quickly. And in one point down a hill completely.
Yeah. I mean, literally down a hill and across a highway.
Dun, 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 dun.
I mean, that's accurate.
Is that your favorite part in the movie?
No. Not my favorite part, but definitely a good one.
What is your favorite part of the movie?
I would say that my favorite moment in the movie is definitely when they're lying in bed and arguing amongst themselves. Yes. They're arguing amongst themselves about each other's families, because I feel like you and I have had a real world version of that conversation where, you know, your mother accuses my mother of buying cheap hot dogs and my mother accuses your mother of waxing your upper lip.
Doesn't show. But you know what? Our mothers would never, they don't argue about anything.
With each other?
With each other. Well, they argue about things more with us than about each other.
Fair enough.
And Jessica is using her, I want everyone to know, she's using her smartphone for good. What are you finding on your phone? While you are finding that on your phone, I will talk a little bit more about the movie. Here's a fun thing that I know you will find very interesting. So another thing you need to know about us is that we enjoy Twin Peaks. All three seasons of Twin Peaks, we love them. You will be excited to know, Jessica, that Angelo Badalamenti did the music for National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Shut the front door.
I know, right?
No way.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
To think about...
To think somebody wrote...
all the creepy...
The ridiculous Twin Peaks theme music, and then...
I know. Like the creepy, disparate... Sort of black.
After you listen to this podcast, go and listen to the Twin Peaks theme song and then listen to the opening sequence for Christmas Vacation.
No, not the opening sequence, because that song was by somebody else. He just did the composite. He didn't write that song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Christmas time is here. Yeah, he didn't write that song.
Okay. No, but he still wrote like the score.
Yeah, he wrote the score, exactly. Okay, so well, go the, like the fun... holiday music, yeah.
So again, still very, very different.
Very different.
I press you to go listen to that contrast.
And there's probably not images of saw blades being sharpened and logs being moved around either during the opening sequence.
Correct.
So I, that's my take on the film. I think I... Let's talk about our favorite about our favorite characters.
Fair enough.
From the movie. Do you want to go first?
I mean, I guess the character, I don't know if they're my favorite, but I think the one that I most identify with is Ellen.
Okay.
Just because I feel like I see myself in her a little bit and vice versa, I think she'd understand me. And
you think you'd want her as your mom or mom for a day?
Maybe an aunt. because
enough.
I feel like she could understand my experience, because I feel like I'm married to like a real life Clark Griswold.
I am a real life Clark Griswold. I'm a lifer, everybody. You should know that about me.
Noted.
My favorite character, I'm going to say, I mean... I think, obviously, I identify with Clark, but I think Rusty is probably my favorite character because I have so many memories of being the put-upon, or at least I thought I was the put-upon son, not necessarily during Christmas, but just during life. Plus, Johnny Galecki is very funny, I think, and he has some really good moments in this, very good moments in this movie. So, all right, final thoughts.
I think that it's important to point out the amount
point
of...
Point it, babe.
I'm pointing it. You just cut the tip off my point.
Sorry.
My point being that there is an insane amount of quotable quotes that are very usable outside the context of this movie.
Quotable quotes. Usable quotable quotes. That's
correct.
What I'm hearing. Agreed. And I think in the 90s, when this came out on, so you were younger then. I was older. I'm not going to say how much. Doesn't matter. But it was quoted a lot, especially when it came out on VHS, when you were able to rent it. It suddenly became like a sensation a little bit. And everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people at my school could quote it. The majority of the quotes were things that I don't want to say on this podcast, but nevertheless, it did get quoted a lot. I mean, I think some of ours are, why is the carpet all wet, Todd?
I don't know, Margo.
Right? And there's always a fix the Newell post. I love that one.
You say that often.
I do. I think it's sort of a deep cut in the film. No pun intended, because he just cuts the Newell post off with a chainsaw.
I don't know why you say it, though, after you vacuum the house or something.
Because the task is done.
Noted.
Fix the Newell post. I'm going to give this movie, I'm going to rate it. I'm going to give it between a 1 and a 10. I'm going to give it a 9. I put some thought into this. I'm going to give it a 9. And I'll tell you why. Because of what I've already said, basically, that this movie is entwined in my heart, in my soul, and in my Christmas experiences. So regardless of how good or bad it is as a film, I think as a Christmas movie, which is what this whole podcast is about, I'm going to give it a 9.
Fair enough. I would probably give it like a 8.5 as a Christmas movie.
Say 8.5 again.
8.5. You're just jealous.
Of, yes.
You're just jelly.
Of you for a lot of reasons, but why did you say it just now?
I think it's obvious you're just jelly. End of story.
All right. All right. What kind of jelly?
I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
I like jelly.
I don't think you're ready for this.
I'm sure this is some kind of reference that I don't get.
It is.
And I'm okay that I don't get it. I don't want to, actually, I don't even
want
to.
It's not even a young people reference.
I don't even want to know what it is.
It's a 30-something reference.
Oh, Lord. 8.5. Why 8.5?
Just because I feel like there are maybe some missed opportunities in this film.
Missed opportunities.
I feel like we don't.
Tell me more.
I feel like we don't really ever grow attached to either of their families, which I understand is on purpose, but I feel like it's too much about Clark and not enough about even Ellen or the kids or anything else. It's just, it's too much centered around him. And
you mean this movie is just a vehicle for Chevy Chase?
Correct. Well, number one, I'm not a huge Chevy Chase fan.
Fair enough.
Not because of his acting, just because he's just a general...
He's reported to be. We don't know him personally.
We don't, but I have a feeling that most of these people do who are saying these things.
But not. But people do. Yeah. Anyway,
let's regardless. Just say he isn't really getting any work right now.
Yeah. He. Yeah. Fair enough.
But I feel like this movie is made out to just be the Chevy Chase one man show with extra people.
You think everybody's just setting him up?
Correct.
I think there's some truth to that. Sure, though. Randy Quaid, I think, is a great what would you call that? Like a Smith or a Mr. Burns to a Homer Simpson. You know, like sort of the complete opposites.
I suppose. I think I would have liked it more if we had seen more of their families. Like, we didn't really see them. They were just kind of caricatures of in-laws on both sides. And
you
we didn't really
to see
get
more,
it.
What, but what would you have wanted to see from them?
I would have wanted to
see... I guess I can't perceive of what you're saying.
I would have wanted to see Doris Roberts say that, you know, Clark's mom buys cheap hot dogs. I wanted to hear
some... Oh, you
wanted
to see those scenes. I see what you're saying.
And I want to hear something about Doris Roberts waxing her upper lip.
Because, I mean, it's true. The four of the grandparents are legendary actors, comedic and otherwise. So I think you're right there that they were painfully underused.
We're also not bringing up the fact that Betty Boop / Olive Oil was, what's her name?
Was
that older woman.
Aunt Bethany.
Aunt Bethany, right. So I think that's another thing, is they have such great talent in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, Aunt Bethany does have a really great cameo, but I feel like...
Dear, did I break wind?
Oh, my goodness. Do you hear something?
It's a funny squeaky sound.
You couldn't...
Okay, now I'm just trying to... We're just creeping each other. I'm just creeping myself out.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyways, no, sorry.
So
what about
I wanted
her?
To see. I wanted to see more of them. I wanted to see. I wanted to see more of that interaction because it's so relatable. And I think that the movie, as wonderful as it is, and I really believe that, it kind of, it kind of got lost when it became so Clark-centric. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's every vacation movie.
I understand.
That's like saying, you know what? I like water with two hydrogen atoms, but let's just try three for one time. Like,
I disagree. I think it is more like, if you're watching the Avengers and you wanted to get more of a backstory on like villains, you know what I mean? I think it's kind of the same thing because I wanted to hear more of the conflict between the family that was really set up very well in the beginning, because Ellen keeps talking about how she's worried about them all being under the same roof, and it comes up
and
several
times.
And
they do argue. You do see arguing in the background. But
yeah, but with no substance.
Yeah, but what are they going to... I mean, there's only so much movie. It's an hour and a half. If we can't get into too many storylines.
That's fine.
I mean,
that is my only complaint about...
I think you have
to
pick and choose.
I would say that is my complaint about most of the vacation movies.
Well, that's a whole other.
Right. And so I'm entitled to my opinion.
I know. I'm not disagreeing. I'm disagreeing with your opinion. I'm not disagreeing. I'm not disagreeing with that. You should have an opinion. I'm not going to do too many double negatives there. My head might melt.
Don't not
ever stop trying. I agree with what you're saying in principle, but honestly, I think it works as it is. Because it is centered around one man's desire to build a pool and get his holiday bonus, which is funny to think about in 2018, where holiday bonuses are...
I mean, 20 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Right?
I think maybe what I'm realizing is that I just don't find Clark Griswold or Chevy Chase's Clark Griswold very likable.
Yeah, but you think the movie's funny.
The movie is very well directed and very well written. I just don't think that I don't think I find him as likable as I want to. Maybe that's part of it.
Well, maybe. Okay. So you find, okay. Well, he definitely has redeeming characteristics in the film. That's for sure. But his thing is Christmas. He has a want.
Yeah, that's not my complaint. My complaint is I think that it...
You don't care about his...
Right.
You just don't necessarily care if he gets it.
Well, by the time the movie comes to an end, it's like, okay, I'm exhausted. I don't really care.
Wow, really?
I mean, I'm enjoying the ride.
The end of the culmination of the ending, I think, is fantastic.
I think, and that's...
It comes together in a crazy way. There's police... There's
That's
a kidnapping.
That's,
There's
listen to me.
Bill Murray's brother.
I don't disagree with you. What I'm saying is that I was ready for the movie to wind down with the Night Before Christmas reading.
Whoa. What?
And then bringing the movie back up to another climax was a little bit jarring.
You think, wait a minute. Okay. You think the climax of the film was when he cut down the tree, put it back up, and then the end would have been him reading The Night Before Christmas, and that was it?
No, I'm suggesting that the editing could have been different. So The Night Before Christmas could have maybe been the end of the movie.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's interesting.
Because I was on an emotional roller coaster, and I just was exhausted. I enjoy the movie a lot. It's, again, it sounds like I don't like it, but that's not true. I still gave it an 8.5 out of 5, or out of 10.
She did, which is how this conversation even started.
Right, but I'm just saying that there are some, I could see why people on Rotten Tomatoes have been a little more critical of it.
You see why I got the 64%. All right, fair enough. I'm going to have to think about what you said for a little while. It's interesting. I think that about does it here for Matt's Holiday Movie Madness, or as we like to call it. So please, please write to us. Let us know at mattsholidaymoviemadness@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear what movies you love, you hate, you want to hear us talk about. And thanks as always to my lovely wife.
Or if you're a troll, you could just send us emails. That's okay, too.
Thank you.
I'll feed the trolls.
Thank you, lovely wife. And we'll see you next week with another fantastic Christmas film.